I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss Mayor Nancy Denson's fundraiser for a local candidate, Athens Comprehensive Plan and Envision Athens, a new alcohol ordinance being considered, and community policing. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Blake Odd with Flagpole, and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Good to be back for another show.
Yes, it is.
And we can start with Mayor Denson holding a fundraiser. That was for one of the candidates in the District 117.
That's right, yeah. And it's a little bit controversial because she held a fundraiser for a Republican. Of course, Nancy is a Democrat.
On the county committee.
Yes, which has been a little bit misunderstood. You know, I mean, a lot of Democrats have been upset at her for just holding this fundraiser. But now the party, the Athens-Clarke County Democratic Committee, has made a move to remove her from the committee because of this, because there's a bylaw that states that, you know, if you are serving on the Democratic committee, you cannot support a Republican candidate.
Yeah, and that's a state yeah. Part of our bylaws.
And there's been a little bit of misunderstanding because I think some people have taken it as like, you know, they're somehow telling her she can't be a Democrat anymore or something like that. But, you know, this is – you kind of have to make the distinction that, like, this is an official party position, you know. So if you're serving the party in an official capacity, you can't
– can't pick and choose.
Right. You have to support the Democrat. There is a Democrat in this race, you know, Deborah Gonzalez. So, you know, Democrats who are, you know, in an official position, you know, need to be supporting Democrats.
And she held the fundraiser.
And vice versa. I mean, Republicans, of course, you know, have similar type of rules. So,
yeah. And she held the fundraiser for Houston Gaines, who's running against Deborah Gonzalez.
Right. At her house, and had a lot of very prominent people from both parties and lots of big money donors, lots of people in the development community, you know, who have deep pockets, who give a lot of money to political candidates. And I think, Jerry, you were listed.
I was a sponsor, yeah. Yes. Yes, I was. But I'm not on the Democratic
You're not
committee.
On the Democratic committee. But you're. Let me ask you this, though, if you don't mind. I mean, you know, you're somebody that I would consider to be probably, you know, even though you're not officially on the committee, you know, to be a Democrat or to be to the left. So, you know, can you tell us why you're supporting Houston?
Sure. Well, I've known Houston for a long time. I've gotten to know him when he was campaign manager for Nancy, and I got to know him even better when he was Student Government Association president. We had a lot of meetings, and I got to know him. I highly regard him. There's one more dynamic that's kind of interesting to look at, and that is that at the time of that fundraiser, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just telling you what's changed, McKillop was going to run. Mm-hmm. And so just like with Regina Quick 4 years ago, a lot of us Democrats supported her, and she's actually a libertarian, not just a Republican.
But she ran as a Republican.
She did run as a Republican.
But that was a little different because there was no Democrat in that race in 2012.
That's true. And then the other thing is, you know, it becomes pretty obvious at times that whoever the Republican nominee is, unless they trip and fall like McKillop did, they're likely to win. So it was important to me that that we have a good Republican candidate.
Right. Well, you know, I think that Houston Gaines, like a lot of people that were on that list or whatever, have known him a really long time and have talked politics with him for a long time.
Yes.
But Houston has always, at least consistently in my mind, represented himself as a political analyst. And he's very, you know, close to his chest about his own feelings, what he stands for. And I think that now is a time when he must let us know him as a person, not as a political analyst, because a person is who votes. And this is a very young man who has a lot of ambition. And I feel like that as he moves, if he were to be elected, I'm not sure that he has the kind of backbone to stand for what he believes. And I think that he might be willing to compromise in a way that would not help us. Think about it. We have only two seats difference in our House, in the House of Representatives in Georgia right now. If we elect two more Republicans, then they will have a super majority to where there's nothing that can be stopped. And I think that's a very dangerous position, and I think everyone agrees, for any state to be in, to only have one. And I think that it's amazing to me that if we look at the Republican record in this state, it has not been strongly supportive of education. It has not expanded our ability to draw down federal funds for Medicaid, for Medicare, for all of those things that we really are losing millions of dollars every year. There's no rationale for that except that we are pro the rich and don't care about others, you know. So I think that we're in a dangerous situation. I thought it was, I was delighted to see that Doug McKillop, he had worked very, very hard. He was out there pushing people, knocking on doors, making calls, et cetera, and he did not find the kind of support that he recognized that he did not have.
And he apparently now, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Doug, but, you know, I just saw last night that he had posted something on Facebook saying that he was supporting Houston, you know, put up a photo of them together and said that he was supporting Houston, which raises the question, you know, as you just said a minute ago, what does Houston really believe in? I mean, you know, you're right. We've always known him as being a behind the scenes guy, you know, who just, you know, sort of really almost
commentate,
apolitical, you know, who will analyze but doesn't, you know, I don't really, you know, I mean, of course, we're going to have these conversations with him, you know, as the weeks go on, but don't really know really what he believes on the issues. And, you know, does he agree with Doug McKillop's, you know, fetal pain 20-week abortion ban, which was extremely controversial when, you know, McKillop pushed that through when he was in the House, because now McKillop is supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, too, you know, regardless of what he actually personally believes, even he is really, you know, which he portrays himself as being, a really moderate, you know, almost apolitical kind of person, there is a lot of pressure once you get in the House to vote the party line.
I'll tell you this. I think that Houston made a big mistake by having that photograph on the Facebook today with McKillop. That's going to all those people that are in the middle trying to figure out what's the best strategy, what's the best candidate, that did him harm.
It's going to push him away.
Yeah. Right.
I think you're right.
Well, he did it early. And anybody will tell you that how short the – but this is a very short race.
It's only 6 weeks away.
This is only six weeks away.
And I can't see using McKillop as a way to get votes. Right. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, anybody that was going to vote for Doug was going to vote for Houston anyway with Doug out, and all he's going to do is alienate, you know, like you said, people in the middle who might be wavering.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you know, the person we're not talking about, Deborah Gonzalez, is a really impressive woman.
She is. She's very accomplished.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I met her really for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and she's a very impressive person.
She is tomorrow.
She's new to politics, but she's had a very impressive career in life.
And it's hard to, you know, a new person in town and those kinds of things. But
well, she's been here, I think, 7 years or something.
Right, and so she's
not
made
new, but she hasn't really been involved in politics.
She's the kind of person that has been developing a lot of confidence and competence in private sector organizations and with groups and people that have worked with her. They're very solid in saying what a fine person this is.
Well, I hope there's a debate because I want to see these two on stage duking it out. That's going to say a lot.
There's one at the library on the 23rd, I believe.
That's right. The Federation of Neighborhoods.
The Federation is sponsoring, and that's the only one that I know of so far.
You know what time? What time? Tell them what time.
23rd.
I don't know the time.
23rd this month?
October.
Yeah. Of October.
Right.
And the Federation, usually their meetings are 7:30, right?
Yeah.
So,
but
we'll report that again.
I don't know that that's been nailed down yet, but we'll remind everybody when that gets closer.
Yeah.
And she's a local attorney, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
she's in entertainment law. She works with a lot of musicians, a lot of video game developers, you know, copyright law, things of that nature, mm-hmm. Which is really relevant to this town. You know, we have so many people in those fields. So.
And to our state. Our state is a huge, I mean, there's great potential for that. That's what I meant by saying that she really does represent in a way the, you know, current technology, state of the art.
What I'm looking for is a Democrat, and I'll just use Spencer Fry as an example, who's really able to navigate this horrible situation.
Spencer was new to politics, too. Spencer picked up, I will say this, picked up on it quicker than anybody I've ever met.
Yes, he did.
But he was brand new to politics, too, when
I know.
He elected.
Well, Spencer has a personality that just drives him, and he's very bright, and he's very intuitive, mm-hmm. and he gets along great with people. And when he walks in the room, he feels it.
We'll be back talking about this, I'm sure, before that October event,
yes.
because that's
yes.
something we want people to be encouraged to go to and, yep. and look at your candidates.
I want to say one more thing about this. We were talking about the mayor's party, and the social media has just been exploding with just a terrible bunch of stuff, basically saying that there's no wonder that developers are getting their way. Look at the guest list at Nancy's house, and Jerry supported the party, and yada, 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 yada. And it's just insane. It's just insane. I can tell you as a commissioner that no developer, no real estate person, no property owner has put any pressure or influence on this commission. We each make our minds up on our own and do what we think is right. And for people, including other commissioners, to say otherwise is inexcusable. It's right. not going to make this town any better to be talking like that. It's divisive.
Right. I wish that, we could say that about our entire local delegation, because they are much more present on the state level than they are on our level. And I think Athens, I agree with you, Coley, I think the integrity of Athens is one that I've always been proud of. But the reality is that they do make a huge impact on that, on the monies that are needed for campaigning on a state level. You'll see much more in the House. Louise McBee made the most, you know, I respect
true.
Her so much, and she said that those were the most crooked, you know, feeling years, those 10 years that she spent, because it's just too prevalent up there. But there are, honestly, I'm not saying all of the, everyone that is elected a crook.
Well, it just seems like some people can't explain why Jerry voted that way on the high rise. There must be something fishy going on. Oh, look, he gave $250 to. Well, I mean, it's just.
Well, but you know, I mean, you can understand. I mean, I'm not, you know, by any means, I'm not questioning your integrity whatsoever. But, you know, I mean, you can understand why people probably feel a little bit cynical these days.
I do understand that. And that's one reason I'm bringing it up, is because I think people need to think about it and realize that they need to stop drawing these rash conclusions based upon two things that have nothing to do with one another.
The other interesting thing, you know, is, I mean, this really ties into, and this is only tangentially related to what you're talking about, but, you know, the suspicions that people have had about the mayor all along, where she was elected with, probably every Republican in town almost probably voted for, and probably the majority of her support came from Republicans, even though she's a Democrat. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of been, I mean, that's been an issue really for 7 years, right. You know, because we have nonpartisan elections. Where do people really, where do they really come down? Where do they sit, you know?
And that,
well, that's why we have nonpartisan elections.
Yeah. But let me tell you why we have nonpartisan elections.
Oh, I know why we have
nonpartisan elections. This community voted over 60, almost 68% on a charter, and it was a major question in that charter that we would be partisan,
right.
that we would maintain our partisan and stay in tune with the state elections and all kinds of things that have been shown up as a problem. We recognize that, and we voted the right way. But the delegation changed it. Doc initiated it. But the delegation changed it. It never came before our commission.
See, he blamed Barbara Dooley for him losing the mayor's race because people were voting in the Republican primary and
not
in the Democratic primary.
That's right. He was threatened not to win, he thought. In my deepest heart, I believe that that is wrong for them to impose upon this community a system that does not allow us to have a clear statement by what these people believe.
And then they moved our elections to May, which made it even worse.
Oh, it's just
it cut voter turnout by half or two-thirds.
That's true for all the unified governments.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, that was
Augusta
that did that. And
the reasons for that are interesting, too. Yeah. But I don't know if we want to go into that.
We won't go into Augusta yet.
Well, we will move on, staying here in Athens, to discuss the comprehensive plan and envision Athens, because they are sort of together.
They are, yeah. And, you know, this has probably been, well, I think it was really poorly rolled out, I think, and explained to people probably throughout this whole process. But, I mean, Envision Athens is this community planning process that's been going on for really over a year now. You know, and there were public input sessions months ago, and that is now wrapping up. We are going to get a report from Planning Next, who are the consultants, I think, from Ohio, who we hired to do this. Those are going to be Monday from 5:30 to 8 at the Classic Center, Tuesday from 4:30 to 7:30 at Cedar Shoals.
There's also one in the daytime.
Oh, Monday, 11:30 to 2 at the Linden House, right. And Thursday, 4:30 to 7:30 at Clark Central.
Right.
So we're going to get this report.
I think that one at the Linden House is Tuesday at
11:30 to 2.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure.
Thank you.
That's okay.
So we're going to get this report, and Envision Athens has been, they had these, you know, they had all these input sessions where there were like 500 people at each of these things, and, you know, people gave their input, and they collected a lot of data, economic data, all kinds of data, you know, putting it together into this report, which is going to encompass all parts of the community, you know, not just the government, but the university, the hospitals, the school district, nonprofit sector. So the government part of this report is going to form the basis for the comprehensive plan, which is something that we and every other community in Georgia write every 10 years, which guides all of our land use, in addition to some other things. But I think the most
important transportation and housing.
Right, yeah, transportation and housing, but really the land use map, I think, is the big thing. So
it's the most,
right.
The most
visible.
So usually the planning department gathers all this data on their own, but because Envision Athens was already doing it, they're taking it from Envision Athens, and that's going to form kind of the base for the comp plan, which now is going to get really geared up in terms of more public input now coming up next month.
Right. The mechanics of it is what the comp plan does.
So there's going to be three more public hearings coming up, and you should go to the Envision Athens meetings to hear about the report if you want to go to the comp plan meeting just so you have the background. But then there are three coming up that they're all on a Monday. They're all at 7 o'clock, October 2nd at Cornerstone Church, and that's going to focus on the needs in the community and the opportunities to address those needs. October 9th at Chase Elementary, and that's going to be about the land use plan, which is going to be really big because that's going to address issues like, do we need to continue building high-rises downtown? Do we need to revisit the Greenbelt? You know, do we need more industrial property on the west side near where we have transportation access near Caterpillar?
Major issues here.
Big issues like that we've been talking about for years. The third one is October 16th at J.J. Harris, and that's going to kind of drill down into specific actions that the county government can take to achieve the goals that are set by Envision Athens.
And these are basically, I call them suggestions from Envision Athens that will then go into the comprehensive planning process.
And there's a whole separate steering committee with the comp plan that's going to look at everything over the next couple months.
Yeah, and that whole process has been delayed, waiting for Envision Athens to complete their work. Just as an aside, you know, we had a vote this month about a bank at Epsbridge Parkway and Timothy Road, and we rejected it. And the feeling of the commission in general was that we need a plan for land use in that area, if not just that intersection and maybe wider. So we are of the mind, I believe I can say, to kick that down to the comprehensive plan and make that part of the land use issues.
I was under the impression there was going to be a corridor study done in conjunction with the along with the Atlanta Highway and the Lexington Road.
Well, that's still a possibility
that are going to be approved.
That's still a possibility, but I predict that will not be included. The money's just not there. We are about to award a contract if we vote in favor of it for Atlanta Highway and Lexington Road corridor studies. We discussed it today, in fact, with the mayor, and we wanted to be sure that the Urban Land Institute studies were fully visible to the contractor and that the Atlanta Highway Committee and the Lexington Road Committees were involved on a very regular basis with this contractor's work. For Atlanta Highway, it might actually be the Athens West Corridor Group, which is a group of businesses that meet every month. And so this would be something good for them to get involved with.
Right.
We also may have found some money to do some immediately available money to do some beautification along those corridors, including such things as a new welcome sign.
God forbid.
At Highway 78.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me we're going to have a nice welcome sign.
We're going to jump on that one.
Yeah, that's a great. And you know, the
can we get one for Bogart, too? Because I've always wondered where Bogart is. I can never tell when I've
There is actually
Bogart.
A sign on 78 that says Bogart City Limits.
Well, but, you know, that was one of the things for the SPILOS was a great signage program. It never happened. But, you know, one of the things we haven't mentioned, but I think we should, Blake mentioned about whether the Caterpillar area should be, you know, developed and expanded as far as, but CarMax is coming in across from Sam's Club. That's a huge.
It's the old junkyard across there.
I think there's like a tire shop there now.
Wasn't that the Dosters?
I don't know if there's anything there.
Yeah, the Dosters.
The
Dosters owned that originally.
That's coming. I mean, we hope.
Right. We ought to work with them.
Because, we are.
You know, we talk about all those places out there on the Epps Bridge corridor that are on the Oconee side, but we still have car dealers.
Right.
And car dealers, is a lot of gap close. I mean, whatever.
Not really.
Just to clear something up, because I get this question all the time.
There's no sales tax on cars.
No, it's an excise tax technically.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the tax on cars, you know, you used to pay property tax. You know, now you don't. Now it's an excise tax. It's 7% that replaces what you used to pay in property taxes.
Well, it was a sales tax.
Well, that went away too.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, the tax goes to. It doesn't go to the county where you buy the car.
Right.
It goes to the county where
you
live.
Register it. Where you register.
So if you live in Clark County and you go buy a car in Gwinnett County, you pay the taxes to Clark County when you get your tax.
Right.
But that's not many people know that. Anyway.
And so the value of car dealership on Atlanta Highway is going to be employment and property tax.
Yes, it's not going to be sales tax.
Right? Wow, that is a change that I'm sure.
That's just something the state did. It was called the birthday tax went away.
Right. Yeah,
that's what replaced it.
Yeah. Well, I can see why the state would want that. All those little counties where somebody can't buy a car in their county. It's another example of the two Georgias.
It was a windfall for them.
Nonetheless, we welcome CarMax.
We do. We welcome CarMax.
Ford is expanding.
If CarMax is done in a environment, you know, these car dealerships are huge water runoffs.
Yeah.
They'll have 270,000 square feet of pavement.
Yeah. That's right. And Buddy Allen, when he did his, you know, it's that permeable.
That's
surface.
The size of three Walmarts.
That's the size of three Walmarts. It's the CarMax. You're right. But he did permeable. And that was a big contribution from the private sector.
Yeah, I mean, they still have to comply with our stormwater policies. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so they'll have a big old stormwater detention bond.
Well, yes, and a new business, certainly. Who doesn't welcome that, right?
Right.
Well, we also wanted to discuss the new alcohol ordinance being considered.
Yeah, we kicked this one back. We had a agenda setting meeting last night and decided we were going to kick this back to the attorney, but the vote next month will be for the ordinance where the state now allows a government to pick one Sunday night a year to stay open and for the bars to stay open till 2:30, bars and restaurants. So
and bars to open at all, because they can't open on Sunday at all.
No, this
currently.
This, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So this year it'll be New Year's Eve.
Great
so
time.
Now, right?
Right
now, as the licensees, alcohol licensees get their new licenses, they get a ballot to vote for what night they want to be open next year. So we'll use that ballot as input into making the decision for what next year is.
Right. You know,
there's an interesting thing I didn't know about, and Mark Bell actually pointed this out to us, that the state allows a county with a population of 800,000 or more to authorize the sale of alcoholic beverages on the premises any time from 11:55 p.m. on Saturdays and 3 hours immediately following, so until 2:55. Yeah, 2:55. But that's only for counties with populations of 800,000.
I wonder who that was passed for.
Can answer that.
What county?
Savannah. Yeah.
That's right.
St. Patrick's Day fell on a Sunday, and that's where this all started.
Yeah, but this is for all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, and it was, I'm sure they were.
St. Patrick's Day in Savannah is.
Oh, right, so that's every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Every Saturday night until Sunday night.
Well, I remember when alcohol was a huge issue, and it's gone away. It's not an issue anymore. And I applaud the fact that we really are a society that is more serious about DUI and looking at that. But alcohol is not an issue anymore.
I knew that era was over when Oconee County passed
Sunday
sales.
Right. But it's going to be interesting.
Their population changed.
It's interesting how many of our candidates are talking about marijuana this year. So that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
We are.
I don't foresee that anytime soon. But.
Well, if it were up to Alan Peake, we'd be talking about it all the time.
If it were up to a lot of people, we would.
Right.
But I still don't see it happening.
We are running low on time. Did we want to briefly mention community policing?
Always.
Yeah. Chief Freeman gave an excellent presentation to the commission this week, wasn't it? Yes. Monday.
Right. Tuesday. Monday. Sorry.
Monday night. Yeah. About community policing and his philosophy of community policing, which is very much about getting relationships between the officers and the community, and for officers to be involved in even the social life of their community, and for them to have more or less permanent assignments on a beat where they get to know the people. That's very, very important to him. We talked about a lot of other things, too, like our problem with police turnover. We're losing a lot of officers, and we want to know why. So.
Well, you know, I know you are big on supporting the chief and his outreach efforts.
Yes. I would just say that this chief has consistently shown that he's the right chief for our community. And I'm really very pleased. We got to support him. It costs more money to keep your cops.
Good last word, Gwen. I want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.